Good afternoon. It's hard not to say good morning, isn't it? But it's good to see everyone. Glad to see those who are able to be here this afternoon. I hope that you made it safely, and we certainly hope and pray that you make it home safely when the worship service is over here this afternoon. But we're so glad that you're here, so glad to have our visitors. We appreciate so much your presence, and we're encouraged by your being here. You remember from the reading this morning an incident that happened in the life of Jesus with which we are very familiar. You look at Joseph and Mary and the responsibility that had been placed into their hands, the angel having told Mary and Joseph knowing that Mary had as a virgin born this child, knowing that it was the Son of God. You know, there's a responsibility that is laid upon the shoulders of any parent to guard, protect, and to guard the welfare of their children. But can you imagine the added responsibility that Joseph and Mary must have felt knowing who Jesus was and that he was in their care? We find that they had left Jerusalem, or they were leaving Jerusalem after having been there for the feast. And they went a day before they realized that Jesus was not with them. Now that seems strange, but we have to remember that oftentimes as people were going to the feast, that large families or large groups of people from a particular village or area, they would travel together. And so it's really not that unusual that they would think perhaps that Jesus was with family or was with someone else from their village that was in their entourage as they were traveling, going on this trip. But they soon began to realize that Jesus wasn't there as they started to look for him. And 100 questions must have gone through their minds. They may have been asking, why did we just assume that he was with us? And why didn't we check on him earlier? Where is he now? It's been some 3 days. For 3 agonizing days, he had been separated from them. And not only where was he, but who had been taking care of him? Who had he been with? Was he all right? Was he in danger? In this reading, we're going to find that there were a lot of questions that Joseph and Mary might have asked, but there were a lot of questions that Jesus might have asked, and he asks one, the important one that we will study this morning. But there are several firsts that are in this passage. There are 5 things that appear here that appear first in the life of Jesus. This is the first recorded statement of Jesus when he said, "How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I should be about my Father's business?" Number 2, it is the first recorded mistake, if it was a mistake, of Joseph and Mary. They thought it was a mistake for not checking on him sooner and having to go looking for him. It is the first recorded display of the knowledge of Jesus, that he was there with the doctors of the law and that he was listening, that he was answering questions and he was challenging them. This may be the first real challenge to the traditions of the scribes and the Pharisees as Jesus was there calling them to record for what they were teaching and listening to them and answering their questions. But 5th, and I think this is maybe one of the most important ones, this is the first open New Testament display of a young person being interested in the things of God. Here is a 12-year-old boy who stays behind to study, and not with just anyone, but with the quote-unquote doctors of the law. It would be the professors of our day. And so here he is. He is very interested in the things of God. There are a lot of things that were on Jesus' mind as well. There were some very special reasons that he knew that he had to be about his Father's business. Notice that he says, I must be about my Father's business. He felt personally compelled to do what he was doing. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16 in regard to the preaching of the gospel and the personal responsibility that he felt, he said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is upon me if I preach not the gospel." And so he makes it very clear that deep down and personally, he felt that the responsibility to go and preach God's word, to be about his Father's business, his heavenly Father's business. And so Jesus feels personally compelled. He felt a personal obligation to learn from these men, but also to teach them as well. At a very young age, he had already likely encountered the traditions of the Pharisees that had been put ahead of the requirements of the law. And throughout his life, he was going to butt heads with them about a lot of things, their traditions versus the word of God. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." Do you ever wonder what Joseph thought about that statement? My Father's business. Jesus or Joseph rather, was the stepfather of Jesus, of course, and Jesus grew up working with him as a carpenter. But when he said, "I must be about my father's business," he was not talking about continuing and developing the family business so that he could take over once Joseph had passed away. Joseph knew he wasn't talking about the carpentry shop. He was talking about his heavenly father, the spiritual things that he needed to do. Jesus understood something at the tender age of 12 that a lot of people never really learn, and that is that the work of God requires our utmost attention. Jesus taught that in Matthew 6 and verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But Jesus felt that responsibility, and he understood at the age of 12, I need to be taking care of the Father's business, not my own curiosity, not my own needs, not my own desires, but I need to be doing my Father's business. Well, how deep was Jesus' sincerity? I think we can establish that by asking just a few short questions. First of all, what was Jesus doing? If you look in our text this morning, Luke 2 and verse 46, I said this morning, didn't I? This afternoon. If you look at our text, you will find that this is what he was doing. He was studying. And he was studying with the doctors of the law. Was he serious? If you were going to talk to the doctors of the law, you'd better be serious. Then we ask the question, well, where was he doing it? He was doing it in the temple, which was the place of worship. Luke 2 and verse 43. Why was he doing it? Verses 47 and 52 tell us that it was to strengthen himself with spiritual food, first of all, but it was also to cause others to think about what they believed. And then the final question we would ask about this is, how long had he been doing this? 3 days. So I go back and I ask the question again. How serious was Jesus about doing his heavenly Father's business? Just by looking at those questions, we have the answer. He was very serious. You know, if you're going to be successful in the secular world, it requires some certain things. The first thing that you're going to have to do is have a quality product or a necessary service. Well, Jesus knew that he had the best product in the world, and he knew that he was going to offer us the greatest service ever known to man. He would have the gospel of salvation, and he would be the one who would provide that salvation. So Jesus believed in what he was doing. It was the Father's plan. It was the Father, John says, who so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, John 3 and verse 16. So Jesus knew what he had, and he knew what he had come to do. And so he had the greatest product, and he had offered the greatest service. Well, if you're going to succeed in the world of business, you're going to have a policies and procedures manual, right? Let's just say a set of rules. You've got to have a set of rules or bylaws that you've got by which you would abide. And everyone has to be on the same page if you're going to be successful. If you're not on the same page, success will not come. Same is true of spiritual matters. Jesus told those people who challenged him in John 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." Paul told Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth." If you're going to succeed in an earthly business, you need to have dedicated salespeople. Those are people who believe in the product and who believe in what they're doing. Same is true spiritually. Jesus said, John 8 and verse 24, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." We've got to believe in the product, though. Over in north central northeast Mississippi, a fellow went through there one day and he was selling underground houses. And he was telling people, "This is going to revolutionize the industry. This is the best house you could ever build, you could ever own. It's energy efficient. You're safe in storms. You don't have to go down to the basement. You're already in it." And some people bought into that. You can see them. They're built on the south side of Highway 72 as you're headed over west of Corinth. We've been in one of them. But you know what one customer asked when the salesman was telling them all of this? She said, "What kind of house do you live in?" Silence. 3-bedroom brick rancher. "Well, then why are you trying to sell me an underground house?" You see, we've got to believe in the product. Jesus believed enough in the product. He believed enough in the fact that the Father's plan was right, that he was willing to go to the cross. He even prayed that if it be the Father's will, that he would not have to go. But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He believed in it. Jesus knew that in his father's business, commissions did not appear on a paycheck each week, but what he would receive was blessings every day and the blessing of eternal life. So one who works in his father's business, and we're talking about the Heavenly Father, knows that one soul is more important than anything else in the world, and we know that our soul is more important than anything else in the world. Jesus is the one who asked the question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Matthew 16 and verse 26, a person who has obeyed the gospel and who has wandered away, that soul is still important. James tells us in James 5 and verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So we need to understand, we need to realize the responsibility that we have and the opportunity that we have to be a positive influence in someone else's life to lead them toward Christ. And we also need to understand that it is not our way, it is not our will. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, John 14 and verse 6. Jesus told his disciples, he prayed for them, sanctify them through thy truth. Pray to the Father for his disciples. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We need to preach the truth, teach the truth, live the truth, so that we can bring other people to Christ. So that brings us to our lesson. It'll be quick, I promise. But that brings us to our study. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So let us ask the question, what was his Father's business? What was it? In the first place, it was to do the Father's work. To do the Father's work. I'm going to be reading from John 10. I'm going to begin at verse 36, if you would like to read along. John 10, 36. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, Jesus talking here about himself, do you say of him, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not in me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In John 5 and verse 36, along this line, Jesus said, I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works I do. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. John 10 and verse 25. Jesus answered and said, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. A man that could heal the sick, a man that could heal someone that had been born blind, a man that could raise someone from the dead, a man that could still the Sea of Galilee during a violent storm, a man who could do all of these things. We began in our first text that we read with people accusing him, saying, you blaspheme because you said the Son of God. Who else could he be? With all of the things that he had done, if God was not for him, he could not have done those things. It was only because he was doing the works that the Father had sent him to do that he was able to accomplish them. So what were the works? What was his Father's business? Number one, it was to do the Father's work. But number two, it was to proclaim the Father's words. I'm going to read from John 17, verses 8, verses 14, and verses 17. John 17, verse 8, beginning. For I have given unto thee the words which thou, unto them, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. And have known surely that I am come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus came to proclaim the Father's word. Not everything that Jesus said made people have warm, fuzzy feelings. Jesus challenged anyone who was living in sin to do something different with their lives, to change their mind, which would result in a change of life. People would complain and they would say, but we're better than this or that person. Luke 13, 3 and 5 is our example. And of course, we remember what Jesus said. He said, no, I tell you, except you repent, you will likewise perish. So Jesus came to proclaim the Father's words. To proclaim the Father's words of repentance, of sin, of redemption, of joy, of salvation. You think about all the things that Jesus said about heaven. John 14 is one example. We'll get to that in just a moment. Jesus said a lot of things about heaven. He also said a lot of things about hell. And that's not a popular subject, but Jesus said more about hell than he did any other subject in all of his public ministry. That's an interesting thing. Why do you think he did that? Because he hated people? Because he looked down on people? Because he had become fed up with people? Because he wanted to be sarcastic? No, he did it because he loved people. He talked about hell as many times as he did because he didn't want anyone to go there. As in Matthew 25, he explained, that was a place prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. So no, he came to proclaim the words of the Father so that we might have eternal life. He came to glorify, number three, his Father's name. If you'd like to read along, I'm going to turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I'm going to read beginning at verse 23. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall find it, shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now has come the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." First we find Jesus being glorified, and then we find the Father's name being glorified. How was it being done? The Father's name was being glorified through Jesus. Submissive life and death on the cross. So to do the Father's business, Jesus had come to glorify the Father's name. Number four, Jesus came to carry out the Father's will. We can read about this in Matthew 26, but Luke's record says in Luke 22 and verse 42, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The text goes on to tell us that an angel appeared to him, strengthening him. You know, we think about the suffering of Jesus on the cross, and we think about the beatings that he took, the crown of thorns that tore his flesh, and the nails in his hands and in his feet. But I submit to you that there was an emotional toll that it took on him as well, the emotional suffering. He took the guilt of everyone's sins who would be saved upon himself. He was dying for everyone else's sins. His blood was shed for our sins. Here was the innocent dying for the guilty, for all mankind. Not all will take advantage of that, but the potential is there. And Jesus knew that that was the Father's plan and that he must be about his Father's business. So going to the cross was to carry out the Father's will, and that was at least part of what he was alluding to in the text that we read a few moments ago. Number five. He came to reveal the Father's character. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 will begin at verse 14. I'll give you just a moment. I hear pages turning. I'll let you get there so we can read together. John 1, verse 14 beginning. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for mercy. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Jesus came to show us the character of the Father. And in his life, certainly that is something that we see. Number six, Jesus came to bring souls into the Father's house. We remember that when we read John 14, that Jesus is talking to his 12 disciples. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." But look at verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus is saying, I don't deceive you. I've never deceived you. I wouldn't deceive you about this. I would tell you the truth. If it were not so, I would have told you. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will receive you once again unto myself, that where I am, there ye may all be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." And then Thomas begins to say, "Well, I don't." And Jesus explained even further. But Jesus is saying, my work with you, my teaching for you, my ministry that involved you, all of these things were done for the furtherance of the gospel, to carry out my Father's business, but also so that you could go to heaven, so that you could have eternal life. That's why Jesus told his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." Mark 16:15-16. And that's why the disciples did it. And that's why they were willing to even die for what they preached. Because they had seen Jesus. They had seen his miracles. They had seen his resurrection, the resurrected Christ. They had seen his ascension. And they knew that everything he had claimed to be was true. And so they held on to it. And Jesus did all that he did to bring souls to the Father's house. Number 7, and finally, to unfold or display the Father's love. I'm going to read from John 16, beginning at verse 25. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." Jesus is saying there's a time coming when you won't be coming to ask me questions. You will be asking the Father in my name. That's Colossians 3:17. Remember in the model prayer, when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he said, "This is how you pray, our Father which art in heaven." He didn't say, "Pray to me." He said, "Pray to the Father." He said, "There's coming a time I'm not going to receive your request. It's the Father who will receive it, but he will do it in my name." Because Christ is our mediator. But Colossians 3 and verse 17 tells us that whatever we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, that time is coming. And it's coming because you have loved me, and because I have loved you. They knew that he had come out from God. So Jesus, in our text this afternoon, we read, he said this very simply, "I must be about my Father's business." So I ask you this question, was he? In John chapter 19 and verse 30, I think that we can be totally convinced that Jesus did everything he came here to do, because as he was hanging there on the cross, he said those three immortal words, "It is finished." At 12 years old, "I must be about my Father's business." He went back and submitted himself to his earthly parents. But he was preparing himself to do all of these things that we've discussed this morning, possibly more. But they're hanging on the cross. He said, "It is finished." He had completed the business that his Father sent him to this earth to do. So he sent out his disciples to continue to do the Father's business. In Matthew's record, we are told that the apostles were told to go out and to teach and to baptize, and then to teach them to be doing the same things. We need to continue today, because Matthew's account puts a burden upon us as well. As we have been taught, when we obey the gospel, and what do we mean by obedience? By obey the gospel. The Bible teaches, and we mentioned John 8 and verse 24, that we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We won't do anything else religiously or spiritually until we have that conviction. And when we do that, we will be humbled to do what the Lord has told us to do. And Jesus has called upon us to repent. In fact, later in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we find that it is a command. So that's one of the things that I'm going to do when I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm not going to be ashamed of Him. I'm going to confess Him before men. Jesus said, that's necessary for me to confess you before the Father. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then when we're buried with Christ in baptism, as Peter commanded those on Pentecost to do, we find there that the Lord will then add us to the church. And then as Christians, we continue on striving every day to do our Father's business. You know, Jesus was lost to His family for some 3 days. And Jesus is still lost to many that are in the world, sometimes even to some who are in the church. Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the Lord's house doing the Lord's work. If we went missing for a few weeks, where would our family look for us first? Would it be at the Lord's house? Would it be somewhere doing our Father's business? Let us make sure that if we want to be disciples, and a disciple is a follower, a learner and a follower, right? Let us make sure that if we claim to be a disciple of Jesus, that we do what he did. And that is that we seek to do our Heavenly Father's business. If you've never obeyed the gospel, or you need to come home this morning, this afternoon, would you come as together we stand and sing?